It is not puffed up with pride. It is not inflated with pride. It does not have a big head. In other words, it does not think more of itself than it ought to think. That's charity. That's just one verse. Verse number 5 says this, doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. The word unseemly means several things. It means not appropriate. Not appropriate. Or it means something like indecent or not proper, like saying improper things or being not being appropriate for the occasion. I think it covers everything from like your speech to how you dress. Being appropriately dressed for the occasion. You see, how people come to church, how they're dressed going here, going there, you know. Appropriately dressed for being a Christian, you see. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. There's a lot of things we could talk about from this pulpit or any pulpit. Unseemly, that things that I don't think, I mean, things that are in the Bible. There's a lot of things you could talk about that I don't think some of them are not appropriate to talk about in a crowd. I wouldn't talk about them, you see. Unseemly things. Don't even like to talk about them. Unseemly. Well, charity is not it doth not behave itself unseemly. And then it says, seeketh not her own. In other words, thinking only of oneself. It is not selfish. It is not selfish. Is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. In other words, it does not lose its temper easily. It doesn't say that you're never provoked, but it says is not easily provoked. There's some things worth getting mad about, you know. There's some things worth getting mad about. I mean, I've said this a lot of times. Any preacher that doesn't get mad about some things, well, you know, he ain't worth nothing. Just get mad about some things every once in a while. But not easily. God is not easily provoked. If he was, none of us would be here. You see, the Bible says that he is slow to wrath and has in plenteous of in mercy. Slow to wrath. And you better be glad for that. I'm glad for that. You see, he's not easily provoked. Psalm 103 in verse number 8 says that he is slow to anger. He's not easily provoked. Then it says, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. That is, doesn't think evil about other people. Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you don't rejoice in iniquity, then you're going to rejoice positively in righteousness, you see. Doesn't rejoice in sin or unrighteousness. Whenever you sin, we're not happy about it. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but he says in verse number 6, rejoiceth in the truth. If you rejoice in the truth, then you have to hate lying and dishonesty. We're supposed to love the truth. John 17 and verse number 17 says, thy word is truth. Something about truth we need to know is this, that truth does not change. Truth does not change. There's not one truth for you and another truth for me. There's not one truth for people out here and another truth for people over here. Truth does not change. Truth is like a post. You put it down in the concrete and it stays there and it does not move. But a lot of people today, they think, they believe that they have their truth and we have our truth. And you just pick some kind of truth that will fit you, you see. That's why we have all this craziness going around. A lot of people think that men can be women and women can be men. See, the reason they think that is because they don't understand the truth. Right. They just think that they can pick out some kind of truth that fits them and they can do whatever they want. They're just pretending. They're just pretending. Rejoiceth in the truth. Truth does not change. Thy word is truth. We have a Bible here. It doesn't change. You talk about all the evolutionary books. They all change. I'll guarantee you, they're different now than they were 10 years ago, you see. And but truth, this book here, this is a 1611 King James Bible. Been the same for over 400 years. Just this one translation. The Bible, the Word of God has never changed. Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Beareth all things. Verse number 7, beareth all things. That is, putting up with the faults of others. You know what, folks? We all have faults. There's something wrong with everybody. The best person you can find out there, like somebody says, they all have chinks in their armor. We all have problems, see? Maybe you just, if you think somebody's, you know, doesn't have any problems, you just don't know them well enough. Everybody has problems. Beareth all things. You're supposed to put up with the faults of other people, you see? And we all have those kinds of things. The thing is, you're not supposed to major on other people's faults. I mean, you could put anybody in here, like my dad. I miss my dad. Everywhere I go on my farm, I see my dad. I go in the old barn there, and there'll be writing on the wall. My dad did that. I find a piece of scrap paper laying around here and there, and it's got my dad's handwriting on it. I go everywhere, and I see my dad out there, see? Now, see, my dad had a lot of faults. But you know what? I just don't know what they are. I don't remember any of them, see? You can say that about your husband, about your wife, about your kids. See, I got 4 kids, and I just bet you they've all got some faults, but I don't know what they are, you see. All of my grandkids the same way, and you can say the same way, same thing about everybody. And my wife, see, she's the only one I know that doesn't have any faults, see. Beareth all things. Brother, that means to put up with the faults of other people because you got faults too. You see? Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Oh, by the way, just sit still and I'll find this verse right quick for you. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8 says this. It says, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. Listen, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what you do? You just cover them over. You don't bring them up. You don't remember them. You don't major on other people's faults. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. In other words, you believe in the good about others, not the bad. Hopeth all things. You don't give up hope, looking forward to what God has promised. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope. You're looking for the hope that you have in God. You're looking for the promises of God to come true. You're looking forward to it. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. That's a good one. My wife endureth all things. That means enduring what you have to endure. Enduring what's in the world. It means this. It means to persevere. I've heard people talking like this. I'm barely hanging on by a thread. Persevere. Persevere. My wife's, she's very young when we got married. And she had to stay by herself some. When I went in the army, different things like that. And she was a little scared. She was scared to stay by herself. I remember one time I had a job. I had a job at a grocery store, Buddy's Supermarket in Fort Worth, Texas. And they wanted me to work at night, you know, extra or something like that. And I would call the boss up and tell him, and my wife was standing back there. And she said, no, she wouldn't let me work. She wouldn't let me work at night. So I had to tell him, I can't work. I'm sorry. My wife, she was scared to stay by herself. Well, it was in Fort Worth, and she's a small town girl. You see, And so endureth all things. And here's another thing that my wife told me. While she was staying by herself, she had talked to her mother. See, I'm telling on my wife tonight. She was staying by she's nervous about staying by herself. And I guess that was when I was gone in the army. And her mother talked to her mother. In other words, my wife's grandmother. And her grandmother told her mother to tell my wife a good piece of advice, which she still remembers today. She said, what you cannot cure, you must endure. If you can't cure it, if you can't do anything about it, then just endure it. There are some things in life that you have to endure. Persevere. There's some persevering that must be done in the Christian life. Let me tell you something, folks. Any town in the United States of America, and probably some around the world, you can go there and you will find people who used to go to church, but they flaked out. They quit. They quit on God, you see. They don't do nothing. You know what they didn't do? They did not persevere. They did not endure. Endureth all things. There's some things that must be persevered and endured. And when that comes about, look, are we not supposed to be soldiers or not? Isn't that part of being a soldier? Persevering, enduring, soldiers slopping through the mud, sleeping on the ground, fighting the enemy, doing all that kind of thing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do that, you see. Persevere, endure. Endureth all things. Verse number 8, charity never faileth. Look, when everything else quits, when everything else fails, charity will not fail. It will never go away. It will never cease to exist, you see. It will never cease to exist. It will never be abolished. Charity. He says there, verse number 8, charity never faileth. Where there be prophecies, they're going to fail. They're going to go away. They're temporary. They shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease, as we in chapter number 12. Where there be knowledge, that'd be supernatural knowledge, it shall vanish away, see. All of those kinds of things, they're gonna go away, but the one thing that will not vanish away, that will not stop, is charity. Will never go away. Verse number 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Those people at Corinth, they only had limited knowledge of the things of God. We know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse number 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When that which is perfect is come. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. I was hoping I'd get finished with this. Verse number 25, James 1 and verse number 25, it says there, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. He said, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, that would be the Bible. It's like looking into a mirror and you see yourself looking back, you see. Now, they did not have that. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, you see. Supernatural gifts like tongues and prophecies, they will pass away. But love will not pass away. Verse number 11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. See, it was just a child, childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, the Bible will make you a mature man, a mature Christian, you see. Verse number 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Those people could only see partially, but they're like looking through a dark glass. But when you get the Bible, it's like looking into a clear mirror and seeing yourself face to face. If you have a good mirror, you can look at it and see yourself face to face. Verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That's how we live now. Faith, hope, and charity, but these three. But the greatest of these is charity, you see. Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of those three is charity. Amen. All right. We'll start.